You have to think back to the war period. Things were very difficult. Women needed power to make their voices heard.
I'm Jean Walker, and I'm the youngest child and the youngest daughter of Hilda and Robert Tweedy. She was born in Clonus, County Monaghan, in 1911. Her father was rector in Clonus, and then they moved to Athlone.
Our aim was to unite housewives so that they may recognize their right to play an active part in all spheres of planning for the community.
She went to Alexandra School in Dublin. Her family was living in Egypt, and it was decided that she would go to Egypt for a year and get Latin grinds. She was there for 7 years, and she was there until she got married to my father and came back.
One thing that ran throughout all her life was she was always late. She was always late for everything. My mother, Hilda, had three children. I, Bob, the eldest. Elizabeth was the second, and Jean, the youngest. She used to leave the house in Stillaugh, run down a longish drive onto the road. The bus stop was about 50 metres away. And the drivers got to know, and they used to slow up and look up the drive to see if she was flying down with papers and bags and all sorts of things. Time didn't dictate anything to her. She did it at her pace.
Things were very difficult, distribution of goods, and there was no rationing. And Dr. Robert Collis had started his Marrowbone Lane scheme for children coming from deprived households.
It was wartime, and there was no rationing in Ireland, and so she could see that the people who had money were able to get food, but the people who didn't have money had a real struggle about it, and she saw the basic unfairness about that, and she mentioned that to my father, how upset she was about that, and he said, stop belly aching about it and go out and do something about it. And so that's what she did. She knew that there were people who were struggling. They needed to be helped.
I felt that I would like to do something about it, and I invited Andre Skeffington to come and try and put a shape on what was happening, and formed the Irish Housewives Association. Women needed power to make their voices heard.
Well, my name is Aisling Farrell, and I'm a PhD student in St. Patrick's College, and I'm doing a study of women's organisations in Ireland during the period in between enfranchisement and the rise of the modern women's movement. Well, it was established in 1942 in an effort to cope with some of the more serious economic and social side effects of the Second World War, quite a considerable rise in levels of poverty, circumstances such as tuberculosis, gastroenteritis.
And it was essentially a consumer organisation, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the early days it was primarily concerned with things like price control and also quality control as well. And one of the stories that Hilda Tweedy told was of somebody picking up a cabbage in a shop with a little note inside in it by a producer saying that, you know, I was given so much for this cabbage, how much did you pay for it? And effectively what they were trying to do was to see to what extent the middleman was actually running away with the profits, if you like, of ordinary people's money, you know?
We were successful in having controlling the price of oranges. It was extremely expensive, and we were able to trace the price of an orange from Spain to the Dublin market and ask why it took so much more to cross the Irish Sea than it did to get from Spain to Liverpool.
Well, it started out, amazingly enough, with an initial membership of just 12 people. That small group of 12 women were actually able to accomplish quite a significant amount of work. And its membership gradually began to build up, really, from about the 50s and 60s in particular.
Were they listened to at the time?
Well, they certainly had the ear of certain government officials. Dr. Noel Brown, for instance, seems to have had quite a lot of time for the Irish Housewives Association. And they were also quite successful in having food hygiene regulations implemented in 1951.
Sylvia Meehan, mother of five, feminist. Well, Hilda was really a very driving force of a smallish group of women. We would meet, we often went to Hilda's house and talk about what needed to be done. And I think we called ourselves the Council of Status of Women.
How did those meetings work? Did you have an agenda? Did you decide on a topic?
We would talk about making public demands wherever we could. Hilda was always a very wise person with her usually decorated luggage, which always had a sticker on it saying, "And why not a woman?" You probably would be labelled as a feminist, which was a kind of a silly, crazy thing to be. And I was very impressed by her absolute determination. Hilda was absolutely straightforward, true, and never left.
Of course, it seems strange to the young people of today. We were considered a very radical organisation, and of course at that time, if you were two steps ahead of the thinking, you were a red.
Hilda had a very keen sense of social justice and a very strong conscience, if you like, consciousness. She was particularly concerned with helping the underclasses, even though she herself might have come from a slightly more well-off background, middle-class Protestant philanthropists, which were quite prevalent in Ireland at this time. But the kind of struggles that the IHA were facing, they were frequently quite alone in their efforts, and the fact that they actually managed to persevere through very difficult periods during the 50s, particularly when the whole issue of communist accusations was thrown at them, and the degree to which they managed to hold firm and actually re-emerge after that was really quite impressive, I think.
Well, there was a big international meeting of women from all over the world, and it was held in Trinity College. And I have always remembered that at the end of the meeting, and I just looked across the room, it was in Trinity, and I saw Hilda with the sweeping brush, and she was doing the practical thing. She was sweeping up the bits of paper and things off the floor. That was Hilda, typically. She was very hard-working, very honest, never called attention to herself, but she was the person that was like a kind of a rock steering the ship everywhere.
She didn't talk about her work in the women's movement while we were growing up.
Was her personal life, did it match her professional life? For example, with her husband, your father, did they have a very equal partnership in the home and with the family?
To a great extent, yes. He was very much the house father at times when it was required. He would deal with running the home and when mother was away a lot of the times.
I have here the dedication in her book, and I think that says a lot about her. To the Irish housewives and all the women with whom I have worked, who have given me so much, this is your story as I see it.
I think it was her honesty, her determination and persistence, which are kind of fairly ordinary things to say about anybody, but they're very rarely achieved. And she just had them. And she never, never wavered from the truth.
She had a drive to try to make things better, and she had a tenacity to get whatever needed to be done.
I was amused to see that I'm described as a redoubtable old-style feminist. Well, maybe I'm old-style feminist, but don't forget that we were considered very radical in our day.
The legacy of the Irish Housewives Association was its capacity to teach women who were primarily engaged in domestic duties to understand the importance and significance of political discourse in affecting not just people who are out working in the public sphere, but also those who are engaged in home duties, and also the importance of maintaining political awareness in relation to looking after one's family, and the link that the IHA managed to establish between the domestic and the public sphere was really quite significant for the time.